podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a gorgeous, crisp Vancouver winter morning. I have the pleasure today of speaking with a colleague from the other side of the country who is likely also suffering with some winter weather despite having just returned from the beauty of Colombia. Syra Cristancho is the voice you will hear in a moment. She is assistant professor in the Department of Surgery, cross-appointed to the Faculty of Education, and scientist in the Center for Educational Research and Innovation at Western University, which is in Ontario, Canada, for those of you who don't know. She and her co-authors have a paper coming out in the February 2017 issue of Medical Education entitled Putting the Puzzle Together, The Role of Problem Definition in Complex Clinical Judgment. Thanks, Syra, for making the time to chat despite your busy travels of late.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure for me to be here. And I was telling you that I'm very excited to be part of this because I recently got into podcasts. So I'm very happy to be part of this and hopefully tell the story about this paper.
That's great. And I will do everything I can to not dampen your enthusiasm about podcasts with this conversation. You and I have had an opportunity to meet on many occasions. So I feel a bit compelled to ask you to give our listeners a bit of your background and what brought you to education research in the first place, because as you know better than anyone, it's rare to have engineers in our midst conducting research on health professions education. Can you tell us sort of when and why you made that transition?
Yeah, definitely. So a long time ago, I wanted to be a physician when I was in high school. And for reasons that where I'm coming from, Colombia, I had to switch into engineering. I ended up being biomedical engineering. And I've got a scholarship to do a PhD in mechanical engineering at UBC. That's where I ended up involved in surgical education, surgical training. And then that piqued my interest into understanding how experts make decisions and how people work through complex situations. At that time, I was not able to do the kind of work that I'm doing now because it was more simulation related. But then when I moved to Ontario in my postdoc and my current position, I was able to switch into the program of research that I'm pursuing now, which is understanding how people adapt to complex situations in the clinical environment. I have to say that I've been very lucky to be at the Center for Education, Research and Innovation. The way that I was trained as an engineer, I always say that it's kind of being a designer. In Colombia, we tend to do engineering the way I was trained to design things for clients. So all the methods and concepts from qualitative research resonated with me when I came to the center. So doing interviews, doing observations was something that I was used to. But this position allowed me the opportunity to apply it into a research question that I was always curious, which is related to clinical complexity. So that's how an engineer came into qualitative research and then health professions education. It was a whole connection. Of course, throughout the road, it's been meeting great mentors like Lorelei Lingaram, Dubrowski, Anthony Hodson at UBC. So I've been very lucky to have met the right people that have given me the opportunity to be where I am now.
Yeah, that's great. I hadn't even mentioned qualitative research yet, but certainly that would have seemed even more extreme to some people as to an engineer making that transition. But you call yourself a systems engineer, I believe, and I wonder if you can tell us a bit more about what that means and why it might be relevant to education research.
Right. I call it systems engineering because for us, I say us in when I was an engineer, the whole purpose was to design tools or equipment that will serve functions for different people. So it was not a tool for one person. It's a tool for multiple individuals doing different jobs. So it was very important for us to understand how different people will use the same equipment, so different perspectives, how those people will work together with the same equipment. That's what we call relationships. So seeing the whole situation of a job as a system as opposed to individual parts. So that's where the systems engineering comes in. We try to look at the whole picture of what is the job, what is the task, or in my case, what is the situation that we're dealing with, and then trying to understand how different actors within the situation understand the situation differently, and then how those different ways of seeing the same problem relate to each other to come up into a solution. So that's in a nutshell how I understand systems engineering for us.
And so when we transition from those sorts of systems that people might more readily affiliate with, something like engineering, to thinking about clinical judgment, obviously those are things that judgment takes place within the individual as well as related to those social factors you just alluded to. But what is the system in that context? What are you holding as the central phenomenon or factor that you're trying to study?
Right. I will borrow one of the stories that we have in the paper. In one of the cases that we studied for this paper, so we had a patient and we have the surgeon and we have different people around the table. For us, the whole system is the situation itself. So bringing the patient into the operating room and trying to solve the situation together. What happened that day was that the research assistant that was doing the observations, she fainted right in the operating room. And then we have also an interpersonal problem between two people in the operating room. So the surgeon had to come into a situation that required him to put at ease a whole group of individuals. So the situation escalated, and we have different views of the situation. We have the nurse giving a perspective. We have the surgeon giving a different perspective. We have the research assistant another perspective. So putting all together is what we call the system. The individual's view on what happened that day is the perspective individually. And then how they were able to work together were all those relationships that allowed the surgeon to actually succeed in making a more pleasant environment and moving the operation forward. So let's say that in that case, the system ended up, if we think physically, it will be what happened in the walls of the operating room with all the people containing it.
Okay, and you mentioned the RA and that particular individual who had the unfortunate incident, but I should ask you about what that individual was doing. What was the key methodological aspect of the way you collected data for this particular investigation?
So when we started this research, I was curious about how individual experts will make decisions in complex situations. We started doing observations, and then we have the surgeons doing a drawing and an interview after that. One thing that we started to notice is that surgeons started to describe not how they solved the problem, but how they were seeing the problem while they were going through the situation. So for us, it was very critical to have observations paired with interviews, because through observations, we were able to probe the surgeon's interviews and having them to articulate better what was going on in the situation. So that allowed us to actually see that it was not about problem solving alone. It was a whole progressive refinement of what the situation meant for them. That's why we call it problem definition. The case of the RA, she was in charge of going into the OR and making those observations and then probing with the surgeon afterwards with the drawing method.
So the surgeons themselves were drawing their interpretation of what the RA had just observed? Or
yes.
Or there were drawings presented to them for discussion?
So the way we asked them to draw, we asked them first, please give us an operation that you think is going to be complex for you for any reason. So then we go and observe the operation, and then during the interview, we ask them to draw whatever they thought made the situation complex openly. So they had half an hour to draw whatever they wanted. And then once we come in the room, we ask them to describe the drawing, and then we probe what is in the drawing in relation to what we observed in the operating room. So that gave us the whole story. And in that case, the two perspectives, the perspective of the surgeon himself as part of the situation and the perspective of the research assistant who was also part of the situation. So it's a co-construction of the story.
Right. And do you think that the drawings enabled you to capture perspective on problem definition in a way that wouldn't have occurred had the drawings not been part of the procedure?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because the reason we started doing visual methods was precisely because the first study we did was on uncertainty in the operating room, and we only did it with observations and interviews. And I was the one doing everything. I observed the operations, and then I interviewed the surgeons. And what I was noticing is that in the interviews, the surgeons were focusing pretty much on the linear step-by-step process of the operation. What I was observing in the OR was a whole social phenomenon, how they interacted together, how they resolved conflict. I was seeing a whole other layer of what was going on at the moment. But when asking the interviews, they always went back to the technical aspect. So I was curious to know, What was that? Why the interview alone didn't allow them to give me what I was observing for how much I was trying to probe? So then I resorted to my experience with engineering, and I remember having to draw with the client those things about the equipment. So I thought, well, we have methods in engineering for designing. So I just thought, let's use it here and see how it goes. So we piloted that with the surgeons who were in my research team initially. Of course, a lot of resistance, because asking a surgeon to draw is always the question, really, you want me to spend time on this? But my answer was always, just give it 5 minutes, and if you don't like it, we just forget about it. And the response has been amazing. They start 5 minutes later, they just say, I want to keep going. And the reason is because themselves, they say, this tool actually allow us to sit down and reflect. Rarely we have the time to reflect what happened in a surgery. And with this method, we actually have half an hour to sit down and think, what really made this complex? It was not just the technical. And one of the examples that we had is an operation that went smoothly. And I was thinking, there's nothing here. I'm observing and I don't see anything major. During the drawing, the surgeon told me, I didn't realize until the drawing that the issue that I was dealing with was more issue of trust, because I didn't trust the resident I was working with. So that made the whole complexity piece coming into the situation. It was not about the doing of the operation. It was more the communication and interpersonal pieces. So the visual method allowed us to identify different dimensions, that's how I call them, of complexity in the OR.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say the effort has changed the way you think about clinical judgment? You've alluded to the complexity, but are you now seeing things differently relative to the way you thought of presumably still complex active judgment before you began the study?
Yeah, definitely, because initially I thought I was going to study judgment as the technical aspect. I thought that the complexity in an operation lied mostly in the medical component and the technical component. And through the research, I've been seeing that most of the complexity in these situations comes from non-technical pieces. But yes, the technical part is the part that surgeons can control. It is complex, I have no doubt about it. But it feels to me that that is something that they have a handle on, because they have the knowledge and the skills to do it. So no matter what, they are able to overcome that. But when those other layers, let's say, team issues or organizational pressures or even emotional components, because the operation related to them at a personal level, comes into play, that escalates. So judgment becomes influenced by those other dimensions. So now I see clinical judgment in a more big picture level. I don't see it just as the job itself, the technical part, but I'm always asking now, what are the components that are actually at play here? And how those components are affecting the way people think the situation evolves.
And as my final question for now, has that led you to any insights yet in terms of the ways in which the individuals in these clinical settings or the people who are training other individuals to be in those clinical settings might interact in order to think better about clinical judgment and refine their practice?
Yes, and this has come mostly from the participants, not just by myself. And they have made the comments that the method itself, even though it's a method just for collecting data, they think is very valuable for them when they have conversations with residents, for instance. The key piece is having people to articulate their perspective on the problem and try to see the problem from a different angle. I know it sounds like it makes sense, but most of the time, what I think they see is that they think everybody sees the problem the way they conceptualize it individually. But the reality is that they have realized is that different people see the problem differently. Right now, we are doing a project in the ICU trying to collect different perspectives on the same situation. So we have nurses, social workers, surgeons, intensivists, talking about the same situation. And what has been surprising is to see sometimes how different of an opinion they have about what the problem really is. So this issue of defining the problem and taking into account others' definitions has become quite important for the participants in realizing that before we attempt to solve, let's try to see how the others think about what the problem is, and then we can move forward.
Thank you. That's been very informative, and I'm sure listeners will appreciate, even from this brief conversation, that there's going to be a lot more detail in the paper about both some interesting conceptual issues and also some ideas that are likely to be valuable to others in other settings with respect to how they might capture some of these complex ideas methodologically. So I'll just end by reminding people that the work that you've been describing is entitled Putting the Puzzle Together, The Role of Problem Definition in Complex Clinical Judgment, and the article will be found in the February 2017 issue of Medical Education. Thank you, Sarah, for your time and for your very clear ideas about what the field can take away from this work.
Well, thank you to you, Kevin, and thank you to the journal. And especially, I want to say thank you because of the opportunity to be able to present data using new methods. I think it's very important for us to explore these new ways of doing research. And I really appreciate that people are seeing the value of visual methods in this case, and the opportunity to be able to publish this in the journal. It really means a lot to us as a research team.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you're definitely pushing the field forward, both methodologically and content-wise, as I just alluded to. So it really is a pleasure for us to be part of it. And I'll look forward to seeing where this continues to lead.
Thank you, Kevin.